Good day, everyone, and welcome to the Cigna Alcohol Awareness Series conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Amy Papageorge. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Hi, and welcome. My name is Amy Papageorge, and I'm a therapist and care manager for the outpatient alcohol team at Cigna. Due to the format of this seminar, you will not be able to ask questions during the talk, but there will be an opportunity to ask questions at the end. Following today's presentation, you will be asked to participate in a brief 5-question survey so that we can get your feedback regarding your experience in today's seminar. After the survey, you will be able to ask the speaker questions regarding his talk. Please limit your questions to the seminar topic. If you have specific questions regarding substance abuse treatment or your policy, please contact the outpatient team by calling the number on the back of your insurance card. There is a PowerPoint for today's seminar available online. To access the PowerPoint, first go to www.cigna.com. Select Individuals and Families at the top of the homepage. Then select Health and Wellness from the drop-down menu. On the left, select Behavioral Awareness Series, then Substance Abuse. Then click on today's presentation. Again, that's www.cigna.com. Select Individuals and Families at the top of the homepage. Then select the Health and Wellness from the drop-down menu. On the left, select Behavioral Awareness Series, then Substance Abuse. Then click on today's presentation. Today, I have the pleasure of introducing Steve Thomason. Steve holds a master's license in clinical social work and is also a licensed chemical dependency counselor. He's the regional clinical director for the Phoenix House Treatment Centers. Steve?
Well, good afternoon. We're on the first slide today, and I'm looking at the first slide with it's not just weed anymore. And a brief explanation. I will be explaining when we need to move forward to each slide as we go through the presentation. The purpose of the title is interesting, I believe. It's not just weed anymore. So often what you hear and what we hear in this field and what you hear in just everyday life is an explanation for the use of people using marijuana. So it's just weed. It's not that harmful. It's natural, et cetera, et cetera. I think we've all heard of it sometime or another. And what I hope to show today is that there's a little bit more to this story. So if we could move to the next slide. What is marijuana? The most popular illicit psychoactive drug, and that's worldwide, magnifies existing personality traits, and effects depend on the mindset of the user. Interesting, it magnifies existing personality traits. I think we can all think of some people that we prefer not for them to magnify their personality traits, but then people will use that explanation as a reason for why they use. It makes me feel more comfortable, more gregarious, more outgoing, whatever that might be. And, of course, the mindset of the user, whether that's it could be a temporary mindset, the mindset at the time of use, or just an overall general demeanor of the person using marijuana. Okay, next slide. Effects of marijuana. Relaxation, calming effects, sedation, increased appetite. When I do this presentation live, I usually get a lot of giggles in the room about that one. Heightened sense of novelty. Things seem unique in the perspective on whether it's a bird sitting on a tree, or the moon rise, or sunset, or whatever it might be, the heightened sense of novelty. And then a general giddiness, I think goes along well with the explanation of people laughing and giggling when they're under the effects of marijuana. Next slide. Some things we see, bloodshot eyes. If someone has been using marijuana, short-term memory impairment. People can't remember things that happened earlier or many times even the day before. Impaired tracking ability. What I'm talking about there is visual, being able to track whether it's watching. One of the biggest examples is driving. And tracking as you drive, but also being able to absorb what you're seeing in the environment. mental confusion, sort of like I just was trying to explain that. Decreased sperm count. And weight gain, again, more giggles on the live version with the munchies being people eat quite a bit. It does have a significant increase in appetite. Next slide. I'm not even going to try to pronounce that. It is THC. It is the psychoactive chemical in marijuana. And here's where we start getting in today's marijuana versus what many people are familiar with from the 60s and 70s. Back in the 1960s, the THC, which is the psychoactive chemical in marijuana, THC, was about 1% to 3% in the 60s and 70s. And what we're seeing in today's world is a concentration of THC in the 15 to 25% range. So a lot of that is as a result of agriculture and techniques, using... basically, the genetic piece of it, where you are growing and crossbreeding the strains of different marijuanas, of different types of marijuana, and so we ended up with a 15 to 25% concentration of THC. The fearful part here, the danger part, is that so much of this study, and we'll get into more in the next few slides, but so much of what we know is based on that 1 to 3% concentration rate. And this 15 to 25% is a relatively new phenomenon that we've seen just in the last 15 years or so. Next slide, please. So the THC, this means there is a 5 to 8 times more THC in today's cannabis. Most research we have is based on the weaker form of marijuana, so there's a lot we don't know. Everything in a longitudinal study on marijuana, the long-term effects of marijuana, if you will, is based on most of the data we have out there in the evidence-based literature and the research is based on that 1 to 3% THC concentration. So we have very little data in 2013 that would tell us what the long-term effects, in fact, practically no data, telling us what the long-term effects of this higher concentration will be. We are seeing more and more of these effects we had watched the scene in the earlier slides are much more pronounced, much harder times, people getting off of marijuana, stopping. You know, we've heard for years that there is no withdrawal, that it's natural, and it's not addictive. Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about that as well. We could go on to the next slide. What we know, right now what we know is brain cells react to the overstimulation THC produces by retracting into the cell membrane and becoming inactive. Long-term use results in everything becoming boring. And to avoid this, one must continue to use or stay clean for 4 to 6 weeks or even longer, depending on the amount being used and the frequency and the amount of use and time frame. Now, back to the first bullet point, brain cells react to the overstimulation THC produces by retracting into the cell membrane and becoming inactive. Some of you on the call may know people that have had long-term use of marijuana or even short-term use of marijuana, that you've seen some of what I'm talking about in these bullet points. People will become flat, less emotion, things seem boring without that overstimulation that is produced by the daily or weekly use of marijuana. So the THC produces this effect that makes things more interesting and more exciting. And once you don't use it, if someone was to stop using marijuana suddenly, they will go through a time frame that will show them as being very flat and very bored, and that's what really perpetuates the use and keeps people, when they try to quit, will say, oh, well, everything's boring, I'm going to start using again. And, of course, it's a vicious cycle, and it worsens the process. Next slide. When THC is taken into the body, it severely limits the available amount of short-term memory. Marijuana slows learning and disrupts concentration by its influence on short-term memory. So it's an interesting thing we see in so many folks that are using marijuana or cannabis have started what we see as an average age of first use of 16 years old. And that is incredible, the danger zone there with the brain development. You know, the brain continues to develop from to age 21 is what scientists tell us today. And so we're interrupting this brain development and by this use of marijuana. So if the brain's developing, and we're in a, obviously in a learning stage of development, marijuana slowing the learning and disrupting the concentration by its influence on short-term memory can result in some serious long-term effects. Next slide, please. Now here's some other information. What we know, alcohol and other drugs affect the younger brain, 12 to 25-year-old, more severely than the adult brain. And this is some very critical bullet points for the understanding the effects of cannabis on this discussion. At the age of 12, there's an explosion in the number of connections and synapses among the nerve cells in the frontal lobe. From age 12 to 25, there's a gradual pruning process as these connections are strengthened or weakened for efficiency. And so excess alcohol and other drug use can cause distorted thinking. Now, I want to go into some detail on this and try to explain this as best I can. If you think of a tree growing in its early stages, as a tree grows in the first 20 years of its life, a tree will have multiple limbs, and they will sometimes grow too many limbs. And those will need to be pruned back for the health of the tree, for the actual ability for the tree to gather water from the soil and to make it healthy, that pruning process is necessary. It's very similar in the development of the brain, and this explosion in the number of connections and synapses among the nerve cells, this is how these synapses and connections, this is how the brain cells communicate with each other. So in the early stages at age 12, there's this explosion, so you have more than you need. And so what happens was the brain develops and starts trying to develop for efficiencies. It prunes itself back. Where each synapse might have five, for instance, of these branches coming off to communicate with another brain cell, what it finds as it develops for efficiency, three of those or two of those might need to go away because they're inefficient and they're causing a slowdown of the communication. And so the slower thinking or the distorted thinking, this distorted cognitive process is what we're talking about. So if you're using alcohol and other drugs, and in, at that age, 12 to 21, 25, the overstimulation that's caused by whatever the drug of choice is, whether it's marijuana or alcohol or you name it, so this natural pruning process will not take place because the brain cells, the synapses among the nerve cells, they feel like that because of that overstimulation that they need to keep all of those branches. So at age 21, at 21 to 25, and I think many of us on the call will know examples of this, people that are slower, they don't think as quickly, they are, for all appearances, not as intelligent as the normal person. When really what's happened, and many family members can look back at a younger age going, he or she didn't used to talk this slow. He or she used to react quicker, and now they don't. And what has happened is that pruning process has been significantly impaired. So this is a huge piece to what we have seen with all drugs, but alcohol, cannabis, and everything else, is what we see in the brain development. And part of the information that we've had for years is that, you know, up until 10 years ago, the conversations in the scientific community, the medical community, were that the brain stopped developing at age 15 or 16. And now scientists have proven that, of course, that it continues to develop up into the 20s. So the early use of alcohol and other drugs causes significant impairment, and we will see that in very early ages. Now, some good news about that, and one of the hands usually start to go up at this point, is it's not necessarily permanent. With the cessation of use with a recovery program, with a treatment program, with somebody quitting using alcohol and other drugs, this pruning process can start back up, okay? So if an individual stops using at age 21 or 25 or whatever it might be, and they've been using since they were 15 years old, it will take some time, but the brain will pick back up essentially where it left off and start this pruning process again. Now, I say it's not always permanent, or it's actually rarely permanent, but it can be where it has been such a significant length of use and such a significant amount and frequency of use that this distortion is permanent. So this is a huge fear. And like I said in the earlier slides, we don't know with this increased amounts of THC concentration in the last 15 or 20 years, we don't have any data to tell us how much more damage it's going to cause. Is it the same as the 1% to 3%? We don't know. I doubt it. I think we're going to see some, in the next 5 to 10 years, we're going to see much more significant permanent damage from the use of long-term use of cannabis. And so I'm fearful when we see in the media and in the different states that are legalizing cannabis. A lot of people that are making these decisions are basing their information on old information. It doesn't apply to what is out there and readily available on the streets right now. The concentrations are a lot different. So when you're trying to look at the data, I guess my point is, let me summarize, that there's a lot of question marks. There are, at this point, I feel there are more questions than we have answers for. So it's going to be an interesting few years as we come forward. Okay, on to the next slide, please. Therefore, the ability to focus on things that are important and ignore things that are not is reduced over time. This is a slide unto itself for this bullet point. I think this is very important to understand that the ability to focus on things that are important and ignore things that are not is reduced over time with alcohol and other drugs, and cannabis especially here, as we're talking about. But this is what differentiates our decision-making and allows us to make good decisions. I would venture to guess that many people on the call have seen this, that indecisions, indecisiveness from the cannabis abuser or alcohol and other drug abuser, and this is what is happening because of that, back to the previous slide, the pruning process, et cetera. Okay, some more long-term effects. On to the next slide. We see respiratory problems. Smoking on a regular basis leads to symptoms of increased coughing with acute and chronic bronchitis. 75% of marijuana users also smoke cigarettes. That is some interesting data. Don't know what the exact correlation is, but there is a 75% chance that a marijuana user is also 70% of, excuse me, 75% of marijuana users also smoke cigarettes. Next slide, some more long-term effects. Marijuana has been identified as a cofactor in the progression of HIV infection. The reason it's been identified that way is because of its effects on the immune system. THC can lead to enhanced growth of tumors due to suppression of the anti-tumor immune response, including breast cancer. This is a lot of information you don't see in the media. Acute mental effects. There's still much debate about whether marijuana will cause a psychosis or serious mental illness rather than just increasing paranoia, acute anxiety, or depression. And what I'm speaking to there is more what we see is folks with pre-existing psychiatric conditions that sometimes will use marijuana to self-medicate, if you will. We'll find that short-term, yes, it might help for a few days or a few weeks, but in the long-term, it'll end up increasing paranoia, acute anxiety, and or depression. Often the use of marijuana, particularly that with high levels of THC, will tip the mental balance of someone just holding on. What I'm speaking to there is that folks with pre-existing psychiatric conditions that are barely holding it together, the more recent higher level THC concentrations in the cannabis that's out there today has been suspected of being the straw that broke the camel's back, if you will. And so folks that are just holding on might be tipping over the balance there. Right. Tolerance. One of the key indicators for addiction. Marijuana persists in the body of a chronic user for up to 3 months. These residual amounts in the body can disrupt some physiological, mental, and emotional functions. Tolerance increases with use. The more you use, the more you need to get high. Next slide. Withdrawal. Now, there's a lot of argument out there that will say you don't withdraw from marijuana. And people will say you don't get addicted to marijuana. And people will say you don't overdose with marijuana. What they're speaking to, and it's a lot of misinformation, because marijuana, you cannot overdose. That's true. Because in the brainstem, where most of the drugs settle, whether it's cocaine or marijuana or methamphetamine or heroin or alcohol, it doesn't matter, they attach to the brainstem and the brain cells that are responsible for heart rate and respiration. So whether it's cocaine or marijuana or, cocaine or heroin or alcohol, every other drug attaches to the brain cell, to the pieces that are responsible for respiration and heart rate. Cannabis THC does not attach to those brain cells, so, or that part of the brain. So, in other words, it won't interfere with respiration or heart rate, therefore you don't overdose, but the others do. Now, that has nothing to do with the addictive quality or the withdrawal potential for THC cannabis. You still have withdrawal. You still have addiction. Just because I cannot overdose on a substance does not mean I cannot be addicted to a substance. Just because I cannot overdose on a substance does not mean I will not have withdrawal from the substance when I cease use. For instance, a withdrawal, and I would challenge anyone to spend a few days in a treatment center with people withdrawing from cannabis to tell me that you don't have withdrawal symptoms. Anger, body aches, depression, inability to concentrate, slight tremors, sleep disturbance, and anxiety. These are all very common issues. Now, you may see them in an individual for just a few days, or you may see them in an individual for a few months. Again, depending on the length, frequency, and amount of use that will determine whether you have any of these and or how long they last. Next slide, please. Ah, I just kind of jumped ahead of myself. There are fewer receptors in the brainstem for cannabis when compared to receptors for opiates, cocaine, and alcohol. The brainstem controls heart rate and respiration. That is why dangerous overdoses can occur with opiates, cocaine, and alcohol, and why it is so difficult to physically overdose with marijuana. Jumped ahead of myself on the slides. I apologize. Is it a gateway drug? Another big topic of conversation. The short answer is yes, it can be. How and the why of it is you have a couple different aspects of addiction. Environmental, the people I'm with, the circles I run in, the family environment. And then you have the next bullet point is the genetic aspect of addiction, the family history, if you will. So is it a gateway drug? If I have genetically predisposed for addiction, then absolutely yes, it can act as a gateway drug. If I have no genetic predisposition for addiction, and my environmental circles, the people I'm around and hang with and spend my time with, are not frequent users of any drug, for that matter, then the chances are it will not become a gateway drug. And this is true for alcohol and marijuana, because they're both considered gateway drugs by some. And if I have a genetic predisposition for addiction, then alcohol or cannabis, marijuana, can both be considered gateway drugs because it's going to lead to more and more ease and comfort that person has not felt in the past. So, yes, it can be, or said more easily, probably maybe. Not very good straight answer, but that's the facts. All right, that wraps up the presentation on cannabis as far as it's not just weed anymore. And here's some of the locations we have for Phoenix House in Texas, and I will turn it back over.
Thank you. In order to help us evaluate and improve our program, we would ask that you please complete the following short survey. If you are a Cigna employee, we ask that you please refrain from participating in the survey today. After the last question, there will be an opportunity for you to also ask questions. Your individual responses will be kept confidential. Please tell us the degree to which you agree or disagree with the following statements by pressing the pound key, followed by the number on your selection after each question. Our first question today, this session provided me with information on the effects of marijuana. Press star 1 for strongly agree. Press star 2 for agree. Press star 3 for disagree. Press star 4 for strongly disagree. And we'll pause for a moment. For our second question today, this session educated me on how marijuana affects our bodies, brains, and behaviors. Press star 1 for strongly agree. Press star 2 for agree. Press star 3 for disagree. And press star 4 for strongly disagree. For our third question today, overall, this session met my expectations. Please select the following response. Press star 1 for strongly agree. Press star 2 for agree. Press star 3 for disagree. And press star 4 for strongly disagree. Again, we'll pause for just a moment. Question number 4 today, I would recommend this program to others. Press star 1 if you agree. Press star 2 if you do not agree. We'll pause for one moment and be back for our last question. For our last survey question today, please select the response that best describes your role in the life of an individual with substance abuse issues. Press star 1 for I am a person with substance abuse issues. Press star 2 for I am family of someone with substance abuse issues. Press star 3, I am a treatment provider for someone with substance abuse issues. And press star 4 for other. That does conclude today's survey, and now we'd like to get to the next important part, which is your questions. We do want to thank you again for your feedback and for participating in our program. If you would like to make any additional comments to help us improve this program or have any questions on today's topic, press star 1 to have your line opened into the conference. Again, that is star 1 on your touchtone telephone if you have any questions or comments on today's program. And we'll pause for just a moment. And we'll take our first question. Caller, your line is open.
Hi. I have a question about your knowledge of any research that's, you know, ongoing or being contemplated just to update, you know, the effects of this, these larger amounts of THC in the cannabis now.
There are some studies being done now that are starting up and trying to focus on this. We don't have any, and I have very little information other than I know that there are a few out there that have just started up in the last few years, but we don't have any data yet.
Thank you.
Thank you. And moving to our next question, caller, your line is open.
Yes, I have a question.
Great. Please go ahead.
So I'm in a situation where we know that our teenage son is smoking quite regularly, and so we're trying to figure out, is it better to go to a counselor, a psychologist, a psychiatrist? Where do you start to determine what the cultural issue is as to why he'll do this?
Well, I guess the first question I would say is how old is your son?
Yeah, he'll be 18 in a few months.
Okay. Yeah. And I would start with a therapist counselor and look into getting an assessment. And, you know, you could probably go through your insurance company there with Cigna and find out what it needs to be done. But as far as getting in front of a counselor, you know, you can through your insurance company find who you've got on your preferred provider list and go that direction first, because is he at this point able to recognize that he has a problem, or is he in complete denial?
Yeah, he's in denial. I mean, I think the crowd he hangs around with is just as you described. You know, he was totally active, and all of a sudden he just dropped off and hang around a bunch of guys that are just ne'er-do-wells. And you know, Tim, everybody does it, it's no big deal. But he did, when we talked, he did agree that he'd be willing to go and talk to a counselor and see if that would help. So I think he probably knows that he's going down the wrong path, but I just think he doesn't care, like a lot of late teens.
Very common, yeah. This is part of being a teenager with that attitude,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, have there been numerous things, for instance, was he active in sports? Now he's not. Was he more active in now and stopped?
Absolutely. Dropped out of the band, dropped out of being a starter in water polo, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, he's progressing quickly.
I
would make that a priority and get him in front of a therapist and get some assessments done, because the direction he's headed, once you get to that point, it's not good.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Thank you.
And as a reminder, if you do have a question or a comment today, please press *1 on your touch-tone telephone, and we'll go to our next question.
Hello? I'd like to ask if the symptoms that you just discussed also apply to the synthetic marijuana.
Yes, they do. In fact, it applies across the board with the synthetics. The synthetics are much more dangerous and much more fearful for us as treatment providers and those of us in the field. We have seen some pretty horrific things with the synthetics over the last few years. With the synthetic marijuana, as well as the other one that is commonly referred to as bath salts, which is a synthetic amphetamine of some sort, we are seeing a lot of, and this one is really scary. There is actually almost no data that is available on any type of evidence-based research or literature available to us right now. Most of the information is coming from those of us in the field that are talking amongst ourselves at conferences and putting it together as quickly as possible. There is a phrase you may have heard before. It's called substance-induced psychosis that has been most closely related to methamphetamine and cocaine, basically stimulants over the years. Substance-induced psychosis has almost primarily come from the stimulant family. What we are seeing today with the synthetic cannabis, the synthetic marijuana, as well as the synthetic amphetamines, both causing substance-induced psychosis. Very, very dangerous. It is a scary phenomenon that we're dealing with right now. And if you know someone that is using these synthetics, you need to be very concerned.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
And we'll take our next question. Please go ahead, caller.
Yes, I had a question. It's a two-part question. Can you comment on the use of medical marijuana? And then the use of marijuana by people who have had some sort of brain injury traumatic brain injury, FASD, something like that?
No, I cannot. I have very, very little information myself on those two aspects, other than to say I would be interested in learning more myself. So I'm sorry I can't help you with that one.
And as a final reminder, if you'd like to have a question or comment today, please press star 1. Caller, we'll take your next question now.
My question was actually recently answered. Thank you.
Excellent. And it appears there are no further questions in the queue. Amy, I'd like to turn things back over to you.
Okay. Thank you, everyone, for attending. And thank you, Steve, for speaking today. If you have additional questions for Mr. Thomason, please contact him at the phone number or web address listed on today's PowerPoint. If you have specific questions in regard to your treatment or your policy, please contact the outpatient team by calling the number on the back of your insurance card. Please be sure to mark your calendars to join our next Drug and Alcohol Awareness Seminar on March 20th. Our topic next month will be relapse and recovery. Being sober is more than just not drinking and drugging. Thank you.
And that does conclude today's conference call. Thank you all for your participation, and have a great day.